Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. I'm going to speak to you today about becoming a Christian. Through the years of Good News Ministry, you may have been a listener, maybe by accident, because your radio is always tuned to CFRA. You may have been searching the internet for any reason and come across Good News in the Morning and heard a message about Jesus Christ and His love and His salvation. You've heard through the different speakers a whole bunch of opportunities to know more about Jesus, to understand His precious promises, and to turn you towards His Word, His Scriptures, as the source of truth about salvation and life through Jesus Christ. And through all that, some of the listeners here may never have made the decision to become a Christian, and I want to today give that opportunity and make it clear and straightforward about how one can become a Christian and have new life in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you a scripture in which a man who was well-versed in religious matters raised the question with Jesus about how it was possible to become what Jesus was calling him to become. And this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to 16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you have not believed. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Nicodemus asked a great question that's been on many people's minds through the ages. How can a person be born again when he is old? We're going to take a look at that in a few minutes. But first, I'd like you to hear just a brief and, if you will, a little bit strange song by Toby Mac. Toby Mac is a very modern worship band, and they've adapted a song that asks, "Do you like the things that life's been showing you?" And the speaker in the background points to Jesus Christ as the answer to that question. So would you listen to this song afterward from Toby Mac's album Momentum?
Just emphasize his lead, the lover of your soul. Do you like the things that life is showing you?
Do you know?
Just emphasize his lead.
Where you going to?
The lover of your soul.
Do you like the things?
I want to. Do you like the things that life is showing you?
In the passage from John's Gospel, Nicodemus asked the question, how can a person be born again when he is old? And in Acts chapter 2, Peter is addressing a crowd, giving the gospel message for the first time, really, as he preaches on the day of Pentecost and tells people the meaning of the events that they've witnessed, the death of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion by the Roman soldiers at the behest of Jewish leaders. And he convicts people very strongly that of this message that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's how they respond. So Peter says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So Peter told the people about the events that had happened, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and about all the good that Jesus had done and how he had shown himself to be the one that was chosen by God to bring salvation to the world. And the people said, what shall we do? They were, as the scripture says, cut to the heart. They recognized that this was about them. This message touched their lives. They, in fact, were people who some of whom may have been in the crowd yelling, crucify him, crucify him, as they were stirred up by the events of that day. And they knew they'd done something wrong, whether they were part of that crowd or whether there were others who had their own individual sins to deal with. They said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It was a beautiful, beautiful call and response that that Peter gave concerning the grace of God and how it can be received. In one of Paul's letters, he writes very simply in the letter of Romans this passage, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This word from the letter to the Romans gives a very simple understanding of how one becomes a Christian and what difference it makes. It's important to understand that being a Christian involves a number of things that many people do. Christians do go to church. They go to church because they want to learn more about the love of Christ, and they want to participate in helping others who are also trying to learn. The church is the collection of the gathering of people who are following Jesus. And each person brings different gifts and different problems into the mix. And people help each other grow in faith, help each other overcome their difficulties, help each other be faithful to Jesus Christ. And so Christians do go to church, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Christians do read their scriptures. They will read the Bible to find out more about Jesus and to be reminded of the great love that God has for them, to discover what God has called them to do and how He's called them to live. They read the Bible to learn about His faithfulness and see how He has dealt with others in the past. Christians also read the Bible to remember how serious the issue of sin is, and they see in the Bible that God has made examples of different people at different times to drive home the point to all generations that the way we live our lives is very important. So Christians read their Bibles, but reading your Bible doesn't make you saved. And many people, of course, Christians included, pray. Christians do pray because they want to spend time with their Lord and Savior. They pray because they want to submit their wills to God. They want to find out what God wants from them, and they want the strength to do it. That's how Christians pray. But praying a set prayer or a rote prayer, praying the Our Father or some other thing that you learned when you were a child, that doesn't in itself make you a Christian. It is something that Paul talked about and Peter talked about, and something which Jesus himself talked about. And that is the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to start you on a little journey as we discuss this idea. And I think you will find that if you open your Bible to the book of Romans, that you'll be able to follow along on this journey. For the book of Romans is a summary written by Paul, inspired by God, to tell us the full counsel of God in terms of salvation. You can get the whole big picture of salvation through the book of Romans. And some people have derived what they call the Roman Road, a selection of short scriptures that summarizes the movement and the journey through the book of Romans. And I'm going to help you along that road, first of all by reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. There are things about God that people cannot see, His eternal power and all the things that make Him God. But since the beginning of the world, those things have been easy to understand. They are made clear by what God has made. And so people have no excuse for the bad things they do. You see, Paul points out that all around us are signs, if we only had the wisdom to read them, signs of the goodness of God. But when our wisdom has been compromised by our moral choices, when our heart has been set on selfishness and has been filled with anxiety and worry because of our disconnection from God, we sometimes fail to read what's obvious in creation, that the one who set the stars in the heavens, the one who created life on earth, the one who has caused all these things to work out to His glory, is great and glorious, filled with grace and love. But we don't see it. We don't see it, and yet God doesn't give up just because we've got that kind of blinders on. In fact, in Romans chapter 5:8, Paul summarizes what God has done for us. He says, God has shown us how much He loves us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What should have been clear in creation, what should have been clear in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve, God is trustworthy, God is loving, God is not holding back anything good from us. This was so obvious, but God made it even more obvious when He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ. And in all His love and grace, Jesus Christ died for sinners. Paul points out that for a righteous man, maybe a good man would die. But Jesus has shown His love for us in this, that while we were still enemies of God, he died to make us God's friends. And of course, that passage I read earlier from Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and your faith and are saved. And Paul assures us, God assures us, again and again in Scripture, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're going to look at this in and further scriptures about this after we listen to a song that reflects this perfect demonstration of the love of God. And that song is called, I'm looking for it on my papers here, that song is called And This Is Love. This Is Love is a song sung, this time sung by GLAAD from the A Cappella Project. It speaks of the great love of God in Jesus Christ. Would you listen to it with me?
And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. This is love, that you have first loved me. You did not wait for me to make myself unworthy. You did not wait for me to make a good and righteous step. Sin I had died, yet your love conquered death and raised me to your side. And this is love, not that I have first loved you, and this is love that you first love me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me.
This is love. God has shown his love for us in that while we needed him most as sinners, he died for us so that we could be saved. And I spoke before the break that the conditions of salvation, the receiving of Christ, consists of trusting God, trusting and believing what God has done, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and being able to confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one to follow. Believing that he is Lord and declaring it is the means of receiving Jesus Christ. And again, we're assured that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But what does that do for us? Does that just mean we've said a prayer and there's a mark beside our name in the book of in heaven? No, there's far more to it than that. Our names are written in the book of life. But Paul goes on to speak about the different impact of the decision to receive Jesus. He says that through the cross, since we have been acquitted and made right through faith, we are able to experience true and lasting peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, the liberating King. This is a fact, that you have peace with God when you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. For the whole of sin consists of a rebellion against God, and God has chosen to forgive your sin, so that when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, when you return to God in submission and faith, that you are given a new life and you are acquitted and made right through faith. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And in Romans chapter 8, it says that those who belong to Christ Jesus are no longer under God's judgment. Many people have a very guilty conscience. Sometimes that's actually been aggravated by the church, by constant haranguing people about guilt. But really, the gospel went out to people who understood that they were guilty and gave them new life. Jesus preached good news to prostitutes and tax collectors, people who were exiled and outcast from among their own people. And he was able to tell them, he didn't have to tell them how sinful they were, he was able to tell them the good news that these people who were burdened by guilt were acquitted, were no longer under God's judgment as they turned away from sin and turned to Jesus. It is so good, even if you have a guilty conscience that may be sometimes triggered by things that aren't even of God, that you can know every time that guilt faces you that you can confess your sin and God is faithful and just and will forgive you your sin and purify you from all unrighteousness. In fact, Paul goes so far to say in chapter 8, and he is speaking under the inspiration of God here, I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are ready to receive Jesus if you know this. You see, nothing can separate the Christian from the love of God. The only thing that had a chance of separating you from the love of God was your sin, your rebellion against Him. But as He has forgiven your sin and you have turned back to Him, there is nothing left, nothing that could separate you. Sometimes people will try to make you feel bad, and the devil himself will try to whisper accusations in your ear. But the answer to those accusations, once you've received Christ, is that Jesus is my Savior. If God is not against me, then it doesn't matter who is against me. If Jesus is for me, no one can harm me. And so we can turn away accusations and guilt and shame with the assurance that Jesus Christ has forgiven us our sin and is purifying us from the unrighteousness that caused us to sin. So let me tell you, you are ready to receive Jesus if you have accepted the truth that you need forgiveness for your sins. Christianity is not about fixing your sins first and then coming to Jesus when everything's all right. Jesus is ready to welcome you as you are, with all your history, with all your habits, with all your addictions, with all your attitudes, with your doubts. There's a wonderful passage in the book of Matthew when Jesus, he's risen from the dead and the disciples see him. And they've gathered around him, and it says they worshipped him, even though some doubted. Do you know what? You may not have all your questions answered. You may still have trouble trusting God. But if you will accept him, if you will let him work on your heart and mind and soul, he will bring you to a place of greater and greater faith. So if you've accepted the truth that you need forgiveness for your sins, and you've believe that Jesus has offered that very thing through his death on the cross, well, you now know that God raised Jesus from the grave in order to assure you that he is both Savior and Lord. You may not have answers to all your questions, but you can trust Jesus to continue to teach you and lead you as Lord. So believing in Jesus, you can now receive him. And I want to make that clear distinction between believing and receiving. Believing is about knowledge. Believing is assenting to certain facts. Oh, yes, I know this, this, and this. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead. But to receive Jesus is to welcome him. In fact, the classical definition of faith describes faith as having a certain bit of information, necessary information, that about Jesus and what God has done in Jesus for your salvation. Faith is knowing that stuff. But faith is more than that. Faith is also accepting it. Faith is in being glad that Jesus has done this. Faith is wanting Jesus to be Lord. Faith is adoration and devotion to the one you believe. And faith is also trust. And that trust comes into play whenever you have to make a hard decision about whether to follow God's way or the world's way. That trust comes into play whenever you have questions that you're still uncertain about, but you want to learn from God and let Him teach you about it. You're letting the Lord teach you more. So believing in Jesus, you can now receive Him. And receiving Him, you welcome Him into your life as Lord and Savior, trusting Him to fulfill His promise and give you eternal life in Him. This is as simple as a prayer. And as we accept Him, He makes you a new creation. He makes you a child of God filled with His Holy Spirit. So I'm going to welcome you to join with me in this prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that You went to the cross, Jesus, for my sake. Thank You, Father, that You raised Him from death, and that through Christ I have forgiveness of sins. Thank You that I'm a new creation now, and that receiving You, I can have eternal life and live with You eternally. Lord, from this point on, be my life and fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and let me serve You and glorify You and love You for all time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've become a Christian today, be sure to tell a mature Christian. If you already know one, find that person and let them know. And find a group of believers in a church who can help you enjoy all the benefits of life in Christ. God bless you. My prayers are with you. And here is a song to encourage you along your way, A Shelter in the Time of Storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide.
A shelter in the time of storm.
Secure whatever ill betide.
A shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm.
A raging storm may round us beat.
A shelter in the time of storm.
We'll never leave a safe retreat.
A shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, rock divine, no refuge dear.
A shelter in the time of storm.
Be Thou our helper ever near.
A shelter in the time of storm.
Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land. A shelter in the time of storm.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.